And by saying what an honor it is to be able to be with you tonight. Greymere has a special place in my heart and has for many years. And I think Kirk mentioned this was the seventh year of this camp. And what a tremendous legacy that Greymere leaves as you continue to bless the lives of young men who want to preach the gospel. I can't imagine a better encouragement to be a part of in your work and life as a congregation. I know there are a lot of things that you do. I've been a part of many different works, whether it was medical mission teams several years ago, Virgil in Panama, and those doctors and dentists with Doug and Vance. And I've been a part of the preacher's camp this past spring in January, and so many that were such a blessing. But one of the things that is very special to me is the work that you do in the lives of these young men. To encourage them to look at life and to think about the possibility and what it would be like to be one of God's preachers, to be a preacher of the gospel. And I am so grateful for your investment and for your time and for your work and so many different things that will happen this week. I want to personally just say thank you. You know, as I think about tonight and I think about our study of encouragement, our minds go immediately probably to Barnabas, the son of encouragement, as the scriptures would title him. A few years ago, there was a movie that came out. It was called Vantage Point. And the way this movie portrayed itself was there was an assassination attempt on the president. And the movie is told through the eyes of eight different characters who saw what happened. They saw it from one angle. You saw it from over here, and you saw this, and you were at a different place, and you were at a different place, and you saw this. And the thing that impressed me about watching that was, even though there were eight different people and eight different vantage points, there was one truth and there was one conclusion. And I think that's so important as we think about God's Word, even as you think about the Gospels and the writers as they put together different vantage points, but yet one Gospel, one truth, one Christ, the Son of the living God. As we think about our character tonight, Barnabas, I want us to look at him through some different eyes. I want us to look at him through some various vantage points. Because I believe in doing so, we capture probably a more complete picture of who he was and the blessing that he was in the lives of others. Barnabas was an amazing man. But everyone that saw him had a common conclusion. And that conclusion was, he was an encourager. So tonight we look through the eyes of the apostles, through some eyes of those he had helped, others that he stood up for, others that he taught, and others he offered a second chance. Tonight I want us to begin in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 32, and we'll read. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Our first vantage point is based upon the eyes and the impression of those who are around Barnabas, or Josie, or Joseph, the Levite. And these impressions were from fellow members of the congregation there at Jerusalem. The scripture says this, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and soul. Neither said any of them that they ought for anything which they possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And there was a great power that the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses, they sold them, and they brought the prices of those things that were sold. And there was they laid them at the feet of the apostles, and distribution was made among every man according to they had need." And then it says, verse 36, "Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field that he owned, and he brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet." Now, oftentimes as we look at Barnabas in the initial glimpse into his life, we look at it as a prelude into the Ananias and Sapphira account. And we kind of can miss the breadth and the gift that he made personally. We jump right into this couple that did what they did, and they were dishonest, and you have the death at the feet of the apostles in the next chapter. But don't miss Barnabas. And you see him through two sets of eyes here. First of all, you see his impression with the apostles. Because prior to this event, the apostles had already named him a son of encouragement, Barnabas. They had already given him that title. It wasn't something that just happened upon his giving of this donation to the church. It was something he had been known for throughout his time with the apostles. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about what it would be called like to be nicknamed for your attitude. I want you to think as people know you in the different realms in which you walk daily, how would they name you? What would it be that you were called based upon the attitude or the impression that they most saw out of your life? Students, what would they call you based upon your relationships with them in the hallways at school? What would your title be? What would they nickname you? As a coworker, as someone who walks the hallways at work, what would they title you? What would the ladies at the beauty shop nickname you? You see, it's a pretty heavy thought to think that because of his life and his attitude, that Barnabas had received this highest of compliments. He was a son of encouragement. You know, as we start out, I want us to think that maybe through the life of Barnabas tonight, we can be reminded, maybe the life and or the name that I would hope to have or the legacy that I would hope that I must first start to live. And that I must first start to pursue with my actions every single day. You know, conversely, Barnabas was given a name because of his actions. But I want you to think about how we do sometimes with our kids. Have you all ever thought about the way we encourage our children? Have you ever been around those situations where our words and encouragement can possibly shape and mold the mindsets of those living in our houses? Those words that either build up and guide can be a real blessing to our life or perhaps the kid that hears, man, my son's really, he's just a holy terror. Well, I imagine he'll grow up to be that. Or you hear that little girl, oh, my, she's such a brat. Well, I imagine she will act out upon those sentiments that you have just placed into her heart and into her mind. I would say, moms and dads, as we seek to encourage our children, think about the way that we can positively encourage them in a direction toward what we hope for, not necessarily in what we anticipate negatively. You see, Barnabas, I imagine every time he heard that name from those apostles, guys, that he was like, man, I can't wait to encourage somebody else. I can't wait to find the next person that I can be an encouragement. They called me the son of encouragement. You see, through the eyes of the apostles, he had been blessed with those words. And they were an encouragement likewise to him. You see, the second set of eyes are actually a multitude of eyes that observed the vantage point that they saw of Barnabas was that of one who was a giver. I want you to think about being among the congregation there and having someone who, based upon his blessings, his work, his livelihood, he had accumulated different things in his life. We don't know what he had, but we know that we don't know to the extent to what he had widespread, but we know that he had a field. And it says that he went out having that land and he sold it. And he brought that money and he laid it at the apostles' feet. He wanted to be a servant. He wanted to be someone who would be used by God, not just because he had things that he could do, but because he saw that there were needs that others had. I wonder in our lives as we look at the things that we have, if we realize like Barnabas, and what can the blessings that God has given to me? What can those things that he's entrusted into my life, by virtue of my vocation, perhaps by virtue of my family history, many of those things, I've been gifted and blessed. How can I use those things to bless God's kingdom? How can I use those things to bless the church? You see, Barnabas was an encourager not only with his words, he was an encourager in his willingness to give of his means. He was willing to take something that most of us would look and go, well, that's mine. I sold my land. But you see, real givers realize that it's not mine. You know, when I leave this earth, I won't have any more right to that as anybody else. This is all his. And I would rather use what I've been blessed with as a gift to God, as a way to help others. Just imagine the eyes that saw food coming into their home because of Barnabas's deed. Imagine those that were able to be clothed, or those children that were able to be helped, or those that maybe didn't know where they were going to stay that next night who were taken care of because of Barnabas' gift. You see, he was an encourager, not only with his words, he was an encourager with his actions. So many times we make the mistake of maintaining that our things are our things. But Barnabas reminds us that everything we have is God and should be used for His eternal kingdom. You may keep it, but you won't keep it long. And if you place it into God's hands and you make an internal investment, your impact will be a blessing to you throughout all eternity. Barnabas was an encouragement through his willingness to give. Maybe God's blessed you for the same reason. And it's time for you to be a Barnabas. Be a Barnabas. Be an encourager. You know, a third vantage point that we kind of can look at and learn something about Barnabas from is through the eyes of a new Christian. You know, do you remember that time when you just fresh out of the waters of baptism, you just started this new life, you'd put on Christ, as we used to sing in children's time down front. We'd take off the old robe and put on the new. And I love that song, as Galatians 3 says, you are clothed in Christ. So you've just started this new life. And you've just been raised with Christ, as Romans 6 says. Do you remember what it was like? You remember still kind of anticipating or looking back with regret at the mistakes that you had made in your previous walks? And looking back at those past sins, knowing that God had forgiven you, but wondering if they all would? Wondering if, as I try to move beyond my past, if they would let me? I want you to think about what it's like to be a new Christian once again. Because oftentimes when we've been in for a while, we forget what it was like before we came in. And I don't want to ever forget what it was like before I became a child of God. Because in doing that, I forget the need that those who are outside and those who are coming in still need to receive that encouragement. Barnabas was that encourager. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 9. And beginning in verse 26. The account of Acts chapter 9 is of Saul, the persecutor, the Christian killer, the one who had held the jackets there at the stoning of Stephen. It was the time he was the one who was now coming to a place called Damascus with papers and given the rights by the government to arrest and to bring these people, these followers of Christ in. And now he has been changed. He has met Jesus Christ face to face. He has now heard the gospel from Ananias, and he has been clothed with Christ, and he's starting his new life. But yet, there are some that find it real hard to believe. And beginning in verse 26, it tells us how that came out. Verse 26, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas looked at him, and he brought him to the apostles, and he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and how the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. And so Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly the name of the Lord. I want you to think about what it would have been like to be there and to be that Barnabas in the life of Saul. Imagine what it would have been like if you had been there as Saul. And knowing what you had done in your past, and knowing what everybody was thinking about what you were trying to do right now, I imagine he's just trying to slip in and learn where we all live, and maybe he's going to come back and arrest us later. Or there was all these different possible suspicions. But Barnabas, you see, everything was said, and then it comes to those two words, but Barnabas. I want you to think about your name. As we've talked about the nicknames that we would receive, I want you to think about the storyline of your high school career. And all these things are said of your high school class, and then they come to your name, but Jonathan. But Ben Coleman. But Alex. But how different am I? You see, because as a follower of Jesus Christ, one of the great encouragements to others in becoming followers is to see that there is a but he's different. But she encouraged me. But that guy didn't do what everybody else did. But this lady at work, she supported me. She listened to me. But this man, he was always faithful to his wife, even when others were talking like they did. You see, what but your name will appear. I want you to think about what Barnabas did. Barnabas encouraged the to-be Apostle Paul, and he says, here's a guy that I don't even know, but he's standing up for him. Barnabas took him. He brought him to the sides of the apostles. He told them Saul's story, and he stood by him. I wonder what a crucial time it was for the Apostle Paul. What an incredible, fragile time in the life of this baby. I heard a young one crying earlier tonight. And I think about all those times where those babies are in such a situation where you know this is such a fragile time. Do you think about that in the life of those new babes in Christ that need the encouragement of older members of the family who will come alongside and will stand by them like Barnabas did by Paul? Will you stand by? Will you be that encouragement? Will you speak up for him and help him? Even taking him along as a teammate in the ministry that they would go on into. They begin to team up and do incredible things. Who will you stand by? Whose future will you impact because you were willing to encourage and to make a difference? Think about it. Think about you as a Barnabas through the eyes of those around you. What a difference your words and your action will make in their lives. Be a Barnabas. Be an encourager. Be a man who or a woman who will be that word of hope into their lives. Be a Barnabas. Now think about Barnabas through the eyes of those who he was surrounded with on the mission field. Now you know, a lot of times we skip right straight from Barnabas with Paul to Barnabas and John Mark. But there's a whole segment of Scripture from Acts 13, 14, 15 that talk about the work of Barnabas on the mission field. Barnabas is a missionary. And when you look at this, it is a powerful, powerful thing. You know, here at Graymere, you, like I said earlier, you've been such a blessing to so many works. You know, to it, what a blessing it is to see Brother Chuck Workman sitting down at a table with no Spanish ability and trying to help boys prepare sermons in Spanish. And he does a wonderful job, and he's an encouragement to them. And to watch Brother Fred Porter as he teaches preachers training students down there in Panama. And to watch Brother Charles Smith and Sister Jewel. And I mean, who can keep up with Charles? I don't know. I think one of these days he's going to be going and going and going. And he's going to be like Elijah and just gone, you know. He's on the fly. And I love it, but that's an encouragement by his action. But the thing I want to point out is mission work is that. It's work. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, the Scripture says, "While they were worshiping the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" For the work to which I had called them. And listen to the phrases as they would be described in the next few chapters. To the verbs. They sailed. They taught. Standing up, spoke a message of encouragement, answering boldly, spread the word of the Lord, spoke effectively so that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. They preached the good news. They healed the lame. They appointed elders. They prayed. They fasted. They preached. They worked. They worked. I want to challenge you to be an evangelist. I don't care what your vocation is. I mean, can you imagine somebody arguing with Vance as he's pulling teeth and he's having a conversation with them about their lives? They're not going to fight back. Vance, you're there, man. Preach the word. You know, as you're counseling with somebody, a friend, their coworker, you have opportunities. Share those things. Thank you, God, for men and women who are committed to being missionaries. for spreading the gospel around the world, for spreading the gospel around your block, for spreading the gospel around your workplace, or around your dinner table, or around your schools. Be a Barnabas and encourage the spread of the gospel by doing the work. I want you to notice chapter 14, verse 22. I love how I heard it taught once here as it talked about their work together. Boys, write these notes down. This is your next sermon. Here's a good one. All right. Verse 22. Well, verse 21, it says, 14:21. They preached the good news in the city, and they won large number of disciples over. And they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. And listen to the description of the work. It says, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith, we said, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each of the churches, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they put their trust. I want you to listen to the words and the descriptions here, what they said. He says, the work looked like this. They were strengthening the disciples. They were encouraging them to remain true to the faith. And they said, we're going to go through hardships, but we have to enter the kingdom. What would Barnabas tell us about the work of encouragement? Well, I think initially he would start out saying, sometimes it means I'm going to prop you up. He says, we're strengthening you. Basically, it means I'm going to prop you up. I'm going to stand beside. I'm going to encourage you in the way of helping to hold you up. Sometimes we need that kind of encouragement. Sometimes you have people that are going through difficult times in life, and you can see them wavering, and you have a choice. Will I come alongside and stand beside them and prop them up, or will I just watch them fall? Will I watch that young couple who I know is struggling in their new life as mom and dad, will I be a blessing and come along and prop them up with words of encouragement and opportunities to help them, or will I just watch them waver and struggle and fall? He says, strengthening us is part of encouraging. It's propping us up. Then other times it means I'm going to push you forward. It's encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Don't you need that? Sometimes that push. I love the old story of the guy that he was kind of the town drunk. He knocked on his neighbor's door one night and he came up and he said, I've got troubles in my car. Will you give me a push? And the guy was like, absolutely not. If I get you started, you'll go off and you'll have a wreck. I can't do that. You just need to go on and sleep it off. And he got back to his room and his wife said, honey, that wasn't a very Christ-like thing to do. Don't you think you can help him some way? Maybe even get him home. I don't know. So he goes back to his front door and he starts looking for the man and he says, hey, where are you? He said, I'm going to give you a push. And he said, well, I'm over here in your swing. Sometimes we need a push. Sometimes we're struggling with something. We're just kind of hanging on. You didn't like that one, John David. Sometimes we're just kind of hanging on. We need a push. But the reality is, who's going to do that? Will you be that person that encourages someone with your words? Sometimes it's propping you up. Sometimes it's pushing you forward. And sometimes it's just encouraging you to hang on. He says, we must endure these things. James 1 says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of any kind, because you know the trying of your faith develops perseverance. What he's saying is, hang on, because sometimes we have to endure difficult stuff. We need encouragement in the moments in which we're enduring those difficulties. Be a Barnabas. Be a Barnabas. Be a Barnabas and give to the cause of Christ. Be a Barnabas and believe in and stand by those who are new to the faith. Be a Barnabas and do the work that God has set out for you. The last set of eyes I want you to think about is through the eyes of a young man. A guy who was kind of a failure on his first try. A guy who missed it at his first shot. You remember the first missionary journey? Paul and Barnabas, and there's a guy named John Mark. And the scripture says in Acts chapter 13, we find them accompanied by this John Mark. And they had seen some incredible things. And the next thing that happens is John Mark goes, I want to go home. I don't want to do this anymore. And so he leaves them and he goes back to Jerusalem. Scholars believe, you know, John Mark bailed out. The truth of it is he ran home. And from what most perceive, it wasn't his first time to run away. As we'll find out later as John Mark writes for us the Gospel of Mark, we find out that there was a young man in the garden there at Gethsemane who was there in nothing but a linen cloth. As Jesus was praying, as they came to arrest him, the Scripture says that that young man got so scared that he took off and he ran away naked, leaving his garment behind. He was nameless. And I imagine that I've been writing the book, I would have not named myself. I wouldn't have told that on myself, you know. Some suspect that this wasn't John Mark's first time to run away. But the thing that I think you see in Barnabas is as the second missionary journeys were fixing to start, Barnabas says, let's take John Mark with us again. Paul says, no way. He bailed out on us. I can't do that again with this guy. Barnabas says, no, I think we need to take him. We ought to give him a second chance. You see, an encourager is someone who will offer a second chance to those who have failed on the first try. It's not a one and done kind of situation. The faith is something that people need the opportunity to second chance. When we've messed up, we need people who will step alongside and say, hey, listen, I know. I've messed up times past myself, but listen, you can do this. There had been such a dispute that Barnabas and John, and Paul separated ways. And I think it's impressive to see their mature response to this disagreement. You know, an encourager says, I'm going to go with you. Barnabas takes John Mark. And the result, this runaway ends up writing writing the second gospel. And it's a guy that Paul would even look back to in 2 Timothy 4:11 and say, he's useful for me. Would you bring John Mark with you when you come back? And so he does. What a beautiful thing to encourage people by allowing them the opportunity to grow. By allowing them the opportunity to grow. You see, Barnabas did that with John Mark. When I worked in Savannah, I was blessed to be a part of a congregation. Jim Shambly was one of the ministers there. And Jim was always good about allowing us, the youth ministers, to preach from time to time. He encouraged it. David Baker that was there, Eli, his son's here with us. And we always had the opportunity to preach, even though I wasn't any good. And they were like, no, you go ahead, Sunday night, you take this one. He would even offer to help with notes and lessons and how you could do it. Go ahead, try it. Come on. And I would invest time and time into it. And I would get up and I would flounder around, much like I'm doing tonight. And I looked up one night, and as I saw out the back door, and one of our sweet sisters was coming out the door. Now, mind you, I was normally the song leader. All right, that's what I did. I led singing. I preached when everybody else was gone, but I was normally the song leader. And as I walked in the back door, I had worked so hard on this lesson that Sunday night. And there was one of our elders' wives, got this? Her aunt. Okay, you got where I'm at now. All right, elders' wives' aunt walking out the door. Her name's Sweet Aunt Myrtle. Actually, the sweet is what I put in there, but Aunt Myrtle. And so I'm anticipating Aunt Myrtle's remarks, those words of encouragement for me, the young preacher. And as I shake Aunt Myrtle's hands, these words come out of her mouth. Chuck, honey, you sure are a good song leader. Now, there are different kinds of encouragement. I remember the words of my granddad that he used to say to the young preachers as they would walk out the door, and he'd say, son, if you live long enough, you're going to make a fine preacher. You know, that was his way of encouraging. But here's the thing. What young preacher who probably in the next week or two will be standing in this spot will need your encouragement? Who won't have the experience of the old man brothers who will need your encouragement and your patience and your willingness to allow them to grow. What a great blessing Andrew is going to be to this family here. But what a great opportunity for you to be a blessing to him. To allow him to grow. What an encouragement. What an encouragement. There are a lot of young men that need that encouragement. Guys that are preaching for the first time. Opportunities for you to listen and say, oh, listen, you do such a good job teaching Sunday school. I appreciate so much the things that your time and your effort. Be a Barnabas. Be a Barnabas and believe in those that are younger than you. I remember a few years back having a conversation with David Shannon. David Shannon, a Preacher's Camp alumni, now preaches for the Mount Juliet congregation, Mount Juliet, Tennessee. He was talking about a time several years back when they were having their 100th year anniversary at Mount Juliet. And they were talking in their meeting and they were thinking, what would be a great way for us to celebrate this? And David said, why don't we have, being a new guy there, he says, why don't we have one of the boys, one of the young men that grew up in our congregation, who's now a preacher, to come back and to preach the gospel for us at our homecoming? And they began to look around the table and eyes began to fall. And they realized that there hadn't been a single young man in their 100 years of existence at Mount Juliet who had gone on to be a preacher of the gospel. And it was at that time that their leadership made a commitment to make a focus and to make it a prime example to say, we want to encourage young men to be preachers. Not because you can't do anything else, but because you could do anything else. And that's what you choose to do, because you can't do anything more valuable with your life than this. And he said, over the course of the next several years, more and more young men ended up becoming preachers out of that congregation. A few Sundays ago, one of my interns that works with us there at Crosswinds, Jamie Williams, went back home. And he preached for the first morning service. They had two speakers in the first service, two Sunday school speakers, and two in the late service. All of them Bible majors at Freed Hardeman wanting to preach the gospel. What a difference it makes when people begin to encourage young men toward that goal, toward that aspiration of, I hope you'll be a missionary. Man, I think you would be a great elder one day. I think you would be a fabulous Sunday school teacher. What a great opportunity it is for us to encourage, to have that kind of focus and intentionality. I want to say thank you, Graymere, for encouraging these young men each year. I want to say thank you for the work that you put in and what a blessing it is. We will never know this side of eternity what a difference it will make. As we think about Barnabas, Acts 9:27, but Barnabas, what of these lives will be different because of the experience here? What lives will be different? I want to do something probably a little different tonight. I want to introduce you a song, because as we started this lesson, we started with one whose name had been changed because of the actions of his life. His name had been changed because of things that the apostles had seen in him. And as we look through the eyes of others, you see why they had so named him. This song was taught to me a few years ago, and it's a beautiful thought about a changed life. And I thought it would be nice for us to sing it together tonight. It may be new, and teenagers, Rusty, if your kids know it, y'all sing out, please. But it's a beautiful song. And I want us to turn into our invitation with this thought. I will change your name. You shall no longer be called wounded, outcast, lonely, or afraid. I will change your name. Your new name shall be confident, joyfulness, overcoming one, faithfulness, friend of God, one who seeks my face. I will change your name. You shall no longer be called wounded, outcast, lonely, or afraid. I will change your name. Your new name shall be confident, joyfulness, overcoming one, faithfulness,
Friend of God, one who seeks my face, you're one who seeks my face.
Because of Barnabas' gift to encourage others, they changed his name. Tonight, as we think about the invitation of Jesus Christ to us, it's an invitation to a changed life. It's an invitation that says, no matter what you've been, I'll change your name. I wonder if tonight, if there's one who needs encouragement to seek out that life, to seek out that new hope and new direction for your life. And if there's any way we can encourage you tonight, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.